don't know if the kids need to go to the nursery. If any kids need to go to the nursery, they can go now, but we can turn in our Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. Need a Bible? I'm sure our ushers can be able to hand you one if you need one. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, we'll begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forwarded you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit." Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Father, we do thank you for the chance we have to open up your word. We ask and pray, Lord, that you would help us to understand these principles of holiness and purity and living a godly life. I pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would convict us if there's any areas in our life, Lord, that we haven't been holy, we haven't given up to you, that we would make it right. And, Lord, we just pray you'd encourage us with these thoughts, that you desire us to be as close to you as possible. And, Lord, for those in our midst tonight that may not know you as Savior, may tonight the Holy Spirit reveal to them their need of salvation as well, and may they be saved tonight. And so fill me with your Spirit and power, we now ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Here in our passage, we see specifically the Apostle Paul dealing with this issue of purity, but in generally speaking, he's dealing with holiness. He says in verse number 7, "For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness." So I want to speak tonight about obeying the call unto holiness. A lot of our society today does not commend holiness or holy living at all. In fact, it mocks holy living. It scoffs at Christians who try and be pure and holy and want to be godly. Our society scoffs at people who make those decisions. And oftentimes, it's even carnal Christians who give us opposition for being holy sometimes as well, unfortunately. But God's word is clear that God wants all believers everywhere to be holy. If you're saved tonight, if you've been born again, God wants you to be holy. Well, what does it mean to be holy? What does it mean to be sanctified, as we see in our passage? It literally means something that's set apart for God's use. Something that's set apart, that means it's different, it's not like anything else, and it's sacred. It's something that God specifically wants to use. And that's what all believers are. We've been set apart, we've been called out from the world for God's service. Well, the first thing we have to understand before we get to this matter of holiness and sanctification is this matter of justification. Because before you can ever attempt to be holy or to live holy, first you have to be made justified. First you have to be saved, you have to be born again, you have to become a child of God. The Bible is clear, if you turn to Romans chapter number 4, that justification is the work that God does in giving us the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He credits Jesus Christ's righteousness to us. In other words, there's not any of us that can ever earn our way to heaven. There's not any of us that can ever earn God's grace. It's given to us by faith. In Romans chapter 4, verse 3, the Bible says, "For what saith the Scriptures? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." So right off the bat from reading these verses, mankind needs to be made righteous. Why? Because mankind is sinful. We are all sinners that fall short of God's glory. So we need to be made righteous. We need to have our sins dealt with, our sins forgiven. And that can only come by faith, not by works. You know, some religions and some groups teach you got to, you know, do certain things and a certain time period, and then you can, you know, earn grace by doing these sacraments and doing these different things. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible is clear. It's not to him that worketh, but to him that believes that we are made righteous through Jesus Christ. Turn to Romans 5, verse 1. Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot have peace with God. You will never be at peace with God unless you receive his gift of salvation by faith. And then you can be made justified. Then you can have righteousness. Romans 5, verse 9. Verse 9. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Again, it's all the work of God. Turn to Galatians, chapter number 2. The book of Galatians, chapter 2, and verse 16. You know, this righteousness that we receive, it's not earned by any effort of our own. It's based only on the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. That's the only basis for us to be made justified in God's eyes. So we can't, in other words, we can't work for it. We can't earn it. Galatians 2:16, the Bible says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Again, it's only based on Jesus Christ. Not ourselves, not anything that we can ever hope to accomplish. So we can't earn our salvation. You know what? We can't keep our salvation as well. Just like we received it only by believing, God is the one who holds our salvation for us. Again, some churches teach that, you know, you can get your salvation, you pray and receive Christ, and then now you have to earn, you have to live and keep your salvation. The Bible does not teach that at all. It's all by God's grace. God saves us and he keeps us. Jesus said, you'll never perish, and we're in God's hand, according to John chapter number 10. So, we don't work to earn our salvation. We don't work to keep it. So what does that mean? We're not justified by our works. So that means that, all right, so I'm saved by faith, and now I can just go off and sin, do whatever I want. I now have a license to sin, and nothing can ever happen to me. Is that what that means? No. The Apostle Paul addressed that line of thinking in Romans chapter 6. And what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. So that's not God's will. And we see here in our text in Romans, in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 7, that God's will is for Christians to be holy. It's for Christians to live holy lives. Now that we've been justified, now we must be sanctified. This matter of justification is a one-time, instantaneous thing, that transaction that we receive from God by faith. Sanctification is a process. It's the process, here's a good definition. It's the process of being set apart for God's work and being conformed to the image of Christ. This conforming to Christ involves the work of the person, but it is still God working in the believer to produce a more godly character and life than the person who has already been justified. Philippians 2:13 says, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So sanctification, holiness, it's not like getting saved. It's not an instantaneous thing. It's a process that God is conforming us to his image day by day, moment by moment, as we cling to him. It's not instantaneous because it is not the work of God alone. In other words, some Christians don't progress far in their sanctification because of themselves. They get caught up in sin. They get caught up in selfishness, pride, whatever it might be. And so the work that God desires to do is being hindered because of unbelief, whatever it might be. And that's really what I want to talk about tonight, is that many Christians today are not obeying this call to holiness. Back in our text, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 3, he says, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification. Verse number 7 says, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. So we need to obey God's will and be holy. Many people, they wonder, what's God's will for my life? What does God want from me? Well, start with what God makes plain. Start from the known, then move to the unknown. Start with, all right, God wants me to be holy. God wants me to live right. God wants me to be set apart for Him. When you start with that, God will lead you to things that you may not know. But we have to obey this call, God's will, for all of us to be holy. Verse number 1, Paul says, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us, how ye ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. He says to walk and to please God. That's how we should be desiring to live. To walk and to please God. When we read Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13, that's what Solomon concluded was the whole duty of man. It's to please God, to fear His commandments, to obey Him. That's our purpose. And so Paul is commending them. They need to seek God. They need to walk and please Him. Then he says, so you would abound more and more. As Christians, again, our Christian life should be abounding more and more every day, progressing, in other words. It shouldn't be, all right, well, I was abounding last year, but this year I'm not going to be abounding that much. Or I was abounding last week, but this week is kind of tough. No, we should be abounding more and more, always, for the Lord. The work of the ministry should be growing, not going backwards. This means that our Christian maturity is never finished. We're always growing closer to God. We're always growing in His likeness. So in other words, this work of sanctification, it's a process that goes on and on until we get to heaven. That's when it's completed. When we'll be completely holy. We'll be robed in righteousness, the Bible says. We'll have our glorified bodies. That's when it'll be completed utterly one day. But while we're here on this earth, we are supposed to be walking to please God and abounding in His work more and more. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. First Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So we need to always be working for the Lord, staying steadfast to the cause, and laboring for Him, knowing that it's not in vain. It's all to please God. Well, God wants us to walk in Him. Look at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1 and verse number 10. Colossians 1 verse 10 says, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, and being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. So again, Paul's continuing that thought that we need to be ever growing, ever working, ever learning in the Lord. That's our job. Look at verse number 2 of 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians 4, 2 says, for ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. A couple things that we can glean from this verse alone. Number one, he's talking about obedience. When we think of God's commandments, we think of, all right, we have to obey His commandments. It's not enough just to know His commandments, but we have to obey His commandments. He said if we love Him, we would keep His commandments. That's the mark of true Christians who love the Lord, is obedience. So these commandments also are not suggestions given by the Apostle Paul. Like, this is my good opinion as the Apostle Paul. No, he says in verse 2, you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. They're given by the Apostle Paul, but under divine inspiration from God Himself, from the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. You know, I've run into many Christians who unfortunately have a wrong mentality of the Bible. They look at some verses, some passages, and they say, well, that's the Apostle Paul's opinion. We can't really go by that today in our age of living, because that was his opinion for his culture. The Bible says that that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And 1 Peter is clear that it's given by the inspiration of God. He used the holy men of God, but it was all the Holy Spirit. Everything God wanted is in here for us, so it should be obeyed as if God was directly speaking to us. So we shouldn't pick and choose, well, that's David's opinion or that's Paul's opinion. No, it's God's word. It's God's command and needs to be obeyed as such. It's the idea given here of, you know, a messenger with a letter from the king, and he comes to the townspeople with the letter. You know, the townspeople could say, oh, you're just a little messenger. I don't need to listen to what you say. But no, that letter has the king's seal. So they know, okay, this is for real. We need to obey it. It's the same thing. The Apostle Paul is bringing these commandments, but it's with the king's seal. It's with approval from Jesus Christ himself. This is his commandments that we need to obey. So let's be obedient in everything the Bible says. Let's be obedient in everything the Lord commands us in his word. Because that really is what holiness is all about. Obedience and following the Lord. Well, God desires for all believers to be holy. We looked at that. God's work of justification is a one-time transaction by faith. But God's work of sanctification is an ongoing work that won't be completed until heaven. God wants us to be holy. In verse number 3, he says, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. And he gets a little specific here. He says, we need to be holy, especially in this matter of purity. And really, that's the whole context of these first 8 or 9 verses, is this issue of moral purity. I want you to notice, when it says fornication here, the Greek word here is porneia. And so it's not just talking about, oftentimes we think fornication is just, you know, when a young person is immoral before marriage. But it's talking about any act of immorality, whether it's adultery, whether it's, you know, pornography, whether it's, you know, whatever it might be, sex before marriage. It's any immoral act committed against one person. That's what it's talking about when it says fornication. And God says, abstain from fornication. Stay away from it. You know, the Bible is clear that these are the sins that really grieve the Holy Spirit, quench the Holy Spirit, that these should not be sins that are named even amongst Christians. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter number 5. And verse 3. Ephesians 5, verse 3. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you, as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. So as Christians, as saints, as believers who are trying to follow God, who are trying to obey his call for holiness, he's called us to be holy, it's his will for us to be clean people, pure people, God says abstain from fornication. We just read, let it not even be named among us, that we shouldn't even be talking about things like that. We shouldn't be setting our eyes on things like that. It shouldn't be in our vicinity. Now, a lot of times we can't help that. You know, our coworkers or those who we go to school with or those who are around us joke around and say things. But I think as Christians, if we can at all help it, we should avoid these things. That means our media choices. Hey, we shouldn't be watching filth on TV or on our computers. We shouldn't be listening to music that feeds these sins. And that basically crosses out by 95% of what the media puts out there, by the way. So we need to be careful what we set through our eyes and our ears, what we allow in our presence, because it affects our holiness. How can we try and be holy people if this is a part of our life? So abstain from fornication, that means any form of immorality, whether it's even just dirty jokes, or whether it's the actual act. I think any form, whatever barrier you want to have, but we need to avoid it at all costs, as the Bible says. It's clear about that. You know, when this command was given, the time period it was given was to the first century Roman culture that was, they had no holds barred on this issue of sexuality and morality. At this time, the Roman Empire knew nothing about chastity or sexual purity. They were unknown virtues. Nevertheless, Christians were to take the commandments of God and obey them and apply them to their life. So we get our views, our standards, not from the world, not from the culture around us, but from God himself. So I think today in American society, it's probably very close, if not worse, than Roman culture. You know, again, there's no holds barred. They're pushing the homosexuality. They're pushing the immorality, the sex before marriage, sex even outside of marriage. It's being pushed upon us through media, through government, through all of these things. So what are we as Christians supposed to do? We obey God's word. God's word never changes. God's word is still the same, so we stand upon God's word, not our culture that's always changing to and fro. You know, it's amazing because years ago, even when I was in high school, things that were considered taboo now are just, you better accept it, otherwise you're an outsider. Otherwise you're the weirdo. Okay, let's stick to God's word. If we're going to be holy, we have to obey God's word, not our culture. This is the will of God, your sanctification. God wants us to be holy. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. And verse 15. The Bible says, "Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What, know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." That's another important aspect of holiness. Understanding that we belong to God. We belong to God. Our body is His. It's a temple of the Holy Spirit. And so we need to be very careful, very mindful of what we allow and what we surround ourselves with. And notice he says, flee fornication. When I read that, I immediately think of who in the Old Testament who fled fornication. Think of Joseph. And the fornication, the temptation was right there and open for him. The invitation was right there. And, you know, he could have done it and no one else would have known about it, but he recognized that, how could I do this great sin against God? And so what did he do? He fled and he got out of there. He even fled so fast he left his jacket, right? He got out of there. And that's good advice for young men. Hey, flee fornication. That's good advice for all people. That we need to understand that it's a danger. The Bible warns strongly against it. Many homes have been wrecked. Many churches have been wrecked because of fornication and morality. So if we're going to obey this call to holiness, this is a part of it. Fleeing these sins and also understanding that we belong to God. Why should I be holy? Why should I be set apart? Why should I be different? Why? Because I belong to the Lord. I've been bought with a price. I've been redeemed. So I'm not going to lower myself and be just like everyone else. I'm not going to be just like the world. Now I'm living for a higher cause. I'm living for Him. That's the number one motivation for holiness. Well, let's get back to our text in 1 Thessalonians 4. Let's keep reading. In verse number 4, chapter 4, verse 4, he says that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. In other words, I think it's talking about, hey, your bodies. Take care of your bodies in sanctification and honor. You know, the Bible says marriage is honorable. But today, the world tries to deceive you, turn it the other way around, think, no, you know, just do whatever you want, that's honorable. Just please yourself, that's honorable. The Bible says marriage is honorable. Verse 5, not in the lust of sense, even as the Gentiles which know not God. In other words, Christians ought to know better. We know the Lord. We should know better. Verse number 6. That no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any manner, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. This is an interesting verse. And still in this issue of moral purity, he says that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter. And obviously the matter being discussed now is moral purity. So he's saying that moral purity is basically like having boundaries. And we shouldn't go beyond those boundaries, in other words. When we do, we're defrauding other people. So it's not just a sin against yourself, it's a sin against other people. For someone who's married, you're defrauding your spouse. I think for someone who's not yet married, you're defrauding your future spouse. That's what it's talking about. So we have to be careful to not go beyond these boundaries. This idea of defrauding means to overreach, overstep. And taking what really doesn't belong to you. And that's really what fornication is. It's taking what's not rightfully yours for that time. God says marriage is honorable unto all and better than the father. The whoremongers God will judge. So we need to be obedient to God's boundaries, not our cultural boundaries, but what does the Lord set up as our standards? Well, let's keep reading verse number 7. He says, "For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit." You know, I think it's interesting that what verse 8 mentions, that there will be people who despise. There will be people who despise Christians who live holy. We know that all who live godly shall suffer persecution. The Bible says that. And unfortunately, I mentioned it before, oftentimes I've noticed that some of the persecution comes from Christians. Comes from carnal Christians. The opposite of a holy or a godly Christian is a carnal Christian. See, a holy Christian is being led by the Holy Spirit, loves the things of God, wants to embrace the things of God. The carnal Christian is living for himself, is living for sin. And so when he sees a holy Christian, I believe he's convicted. And because of his conviction, sometimes, why does that person have a smile on their face so much? Why does that person always have to go to church and rub it in? Maybe some of you have some coworkers, I'm describing them just now. Why is that person always talking about Jesus? And then when you ask them, "Oh yeah, I'm a Christian." "Oh really? What's the problem there?" Hey, they're carnal. And they despise. Well, look what verse 8 says. "He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit." So we shouldn't be grieved or vexed or discouraged, troubled. This goes for young people. You're in your high school, you're wherever you are, and you know, most of the kids are trying to go a certain way. You're not going to go along with the crowd. You may stand out. You may get mocked and scorned for that. But no, but just have faith knowing that I'm obeying God. And if they're going to despise me, they're really despising God.
Right.
So nevertheless, that call still stands. Are we going to obey that call to be holy, to be different, to be set apart from God? The end of verse 8 says that he's given unto us his Holy Spirit. And why should we be holy as Christians? Because we have the Holy Spirit of God in us. He's within us, but we shouldn't quench the Holy Spirit. And 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 19 says, "Quench not the Spirit." And so again, that's another motivation. Why should I live a holy life? Why should I live a separated life? Why should I separate myself from certain people, from certain media things, from certain whatever, fill in the blank? Because I have the Holy Spirit within me. I don't want to quench the Spirit. You know, oftentimes, I know for myself, you know, maybe some worldly friends or relatives, they say, "Hey, we're going to go here, come along with us. Or hey, come over, we're going to watch this movie," or "Hey, this and that." And yet we have to make a decision. Am I going to go along with this and please my flesh and also quench the Holy Spirit of God? Because the number one thing we have to understand, if we are going to be holy, it's not just for the sake of, "All right, I'm holy and I'm going to sit here by myself." No, it's holiness for God's use. It's being set apart for God to use you. And you will not be used by God if you're quenching the Holy Spirit. You won't be used by God. God won't use you. He can't do it. He doesn't do it. And so, as Christians, if that should be our desire, by the way, if it's not, you need to get on your knees and pray that the Lord gives you that desire. But if our desire is, "Lord, would you use me? Help me to be a channel of blessing." It's not going to come if we're quenching His Holy Spirit. We don't want to. The worst thing we can do is do the work of God in the flesh. That's the worst thing we can do. Because it'll just ruin everything. Our flesh doesn't profit anything. Jesus said, "If you do anything in the flesh, it'll profit you nothing. For without me, you can do nothing," He said. So we want the Holy Spirit of God taking control in our life. And that can't happen if there's sin in our life. We can't quench the Spirit and expect to be used by God. So if we're going to be holy, if we're going to obey God's commandments, specifically here it's talking about purity, but we can apply it to many avenues of living, in all manner of living, as we just read in verse number 1, how to walk and how to live our lives. We need to make decisions every day, every moment oftentimes. Am I going to do this or am I going to do that? What am I going to decide to do? It's all about obedience to Christ. Because it all deals with holiness. Again, holiness is not just for my well-being so I can sit and say, "Look at me, I have my hands crossed and I have a halo and I'm holy." That's not holiness. Holiness is having the Lord use you. It's holiness to be a vessel used by God. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. oftentimes when we preach about holiness and being separated, sometimes people can take it too far and think it's being isolated. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible does not teach isolation. We're not hermits. We are in the world, but we're not supposed to be of the world. So we're supposed to be making a difference, be the salt and the light. Show the world a different Christian. And in 2 Timothy chapter number 2, start reading verse number 20. The Bible says, "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor." Now, which is better, gold and silver or wood and earth? Gold and silver, obviously. So we should want to be, you know, gold star Christians, right? Gold vessel. That's what we should want to be. Verse 21. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. That should be our desire, our burden, that we are vessels of honor meet for the master's use. That's all I want to be, is just a vessel that God can say, all right, I'll use you. That's all that we should desire to be, that the Holy Spirit would come fill us up to be used. But again, we can be vessels of honor, or we can be vessels of dishonor. Okay, it's just like if you're at your home, and you have a guest come by, and you go in the cupboard, hey, I'll get you a nice drink, a beverage, and you go in your cupboard, and you want to pick out the nice glass, and you pick it up, uh-oh, I didn't wash it as good as I thought I did last time. There's still some dry coffee stains in here. You're going to put that vessel back. You don't want to give someone that, right?